The Western and Atlantic Railroaders had jumped down off the engine and walked the 40 feet to Lacey's hotel, stopping on the front porch to wash their oily hands with soap and water and battered pans, drying off on large roller towels flanking the doorway. The schedule was tight. There was no time to lose if they wanted to get something to eat. They each handed a quarter to Mr. Lacey at the door and no doubt received a kind word in return as they entered the dining room, where Mrs. Lacey presided at the head of the table in a most homelike fashion. Breakfast had been made ready for the train's arrival, and hungry passengers and crew sat right down to eat. Coffee was poured, eggs and grits ladled, and gravy spooned on still-steaming biscuits. But the blessing's amen had hardly been spoken when the morning began to come unraveled for the crew of the General. They sat at a table with a view through the front window toward the railroad track, Fuller near the end of the table, with Kane and Anderson on his right, and Murphy directly across from them. The four men had just started to eat when they heard a sudden hard chuff from the engine outside. This did not attract our attention particularly, but happening to glance out the window at the end of the room, I saw the engine going down the road, Murphy later said. I yelled to Fuller, "Someone is running off with your train!" And here, at the outset of what would come to be known as the Great Locomotive Chase, begins an undisguised and somewhat unseemly battle for credit for the accomplishment of chasing and capturing Andrews and his men. For Fuller would recall the situation differently. The conductor would claim that it was he, not Murphy, who heard the engine exhaust very rapidly and suddenly, and that he alerted Kane and Murphy. "Someone who has no right to has gone off without a train!" Whoever first saw the train departing and raised the alarm, a great commotion ensued, according to Murphy, and consternation reigned in the little dining room. Passengers and crewmen crowded to the door and saw that the train had been divided, the mail car and two passenger cars standing idle before them on the tracks, the faces of a few forlorn passengers who had stayed in the coaches peering out the windows. "What was the cause, and by whom was the engine moved?" was asked by many voices, Murphy recalled. He immediately asked Fuller about the large number of men who had embarked at Marietta, and the conductor confirmed that the men had tickets to Big Shanty or points beyond. Fuller rushed out the door to the tracks and asked one of the guards who had taken the train. The bewildered sentry replied that he did not know, but that he was a tall man with a thick, dark beard, wearing a black military overcoat and a cape. Thinking of the warnings they had heard about deserters from Camp McDonald, Fuller and Murphy immediately supposed that the thieves were nothing more than fugitives from the camp, who would run the engine until it ran out of steam and then abandon it. The two railroaders quickly agreed that under the circumstances it was their duty to go after the engine as best they could. "We didn't know what to do at first, but it wouldn't do to stand there," Murphy said. In the meantime, Fuller had broken into a run, heading north up the tracks from the station. "This seemed to be funny to some of the crowd standing around by the hotel there," the conductor remembered, "but it wasn't to me." He didn't see what else he could do. As the conductor, the engine was his responsibility, and by the time he had reached the switch 100 yards away, he had made up his mind to chase the train down on foot or to give out trying. Looking back, he saw the two older men, Murphy and Kane, following behind him. Numerous witnesses would record the scene, more a slapstick comedy than a suspenseful drama, the three desperate railroad men sprinting off amid the laughter and jeers of the crowd, chasing after a train that had shot out lively and disappeared from sight some minutes before. The large numbers of uniformed men and other spectators standing round the tracks by that time were more full of suggestions than actual help. "Get a horse," one among the crowd yelled after Fuller. "Telegraph for an engine," said another. One of the soldiers asked in amazement as the conductor ran past, "What, are you going after that train on foot?" "Yes," Fuller called back over his shoulder. He heard the reply as he left Big Shanty and its useless guards behind him. "What a damned fool," the soldier said.